Welcome to a powerful message from the Lighthouse Chapel International, Bronx North Branch. Lighthouse Chapel International branches worldwide provide every member the training, support, and encouragement to fulfill the Great Commission and to go to heaven and hear Jesus say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Join us for a life-changing experience as you listen to this message.
Our beloved Father, please come down and lead us. We are waiting on your touch.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for this great opportunity, Lord, to be here once again to hear your word. Heavenly Father, we have come at the pillar of truth. We have come at the seat of truth. Lord, speak to our hearts. Let your word go forth, and may it accomplish the purpose for which you are sending it. Prepare our hearts, O God, to receive your word. May we not live here the same. May we live here, Lord, walking another step closer to you, O Lord. May we have another level of understanding of your ways. We thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' name. And all the saints join and say, Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And why don't you, with a clap of friends, take your seats? Oh, you are clapping for Jesus. And you may be seated also. Hallelujah. Wonderful. Wonderful. So we want to continue with a series of messages that we've been sharing. Somebody called me and said, I don't know if I was sad or somebody called me and said, "Oh, Reverend, last week we had a break from the message." And I said, "What kind of break is that?" You see, so it's like the message is like arrows, and we are throwing them, and we had a break from these arrows. Hallelujah. And I was wondering if it was good or bad. Amen. And I was wondering if we should continue sharing messages of arrows. Hallelujah. But I think we need it. Hallelujah. I think we need it. I feel in my spirit that, you know, if God is going to add onto our church, if we are having an evangelism month, and God is going to add onto our church, then we must have a safe house. We must have an accommodating house. Hallelujah. It means we must fix our house well before we go to find more. Hallelujah. You see, Jesus said he came for the lost. Amen. He said he came for the lost. Now, what that means, what I understand that to mean, is that there are some who are not lost. Hallelujah. Now, when you are not lost, it means you are in a well-protected area. When you are not lost, it means that you can easily be found. Hallelujah. When the Father can leave you and go after the lost ones, it means that he's leaving you in a very secure place. It means that where he's leaving you is safe. That is why the Father was not worried about leaving the 99, because they know they are safe, or he knows they are safe. Hallelujah. And so if we are going also to look for the lost, then we should also know that what we have here, they are safe. Amen. Then we should also understand that what we have here, we are in a safe place. Amen. And that is why I feel it's important that even during this evangelism month, we should also listen to some of these messages. Hallelujah. Some of these messages are like immunization. Do you know what is immunization? You see, when the flu season is coming, it is recommended that you have immunization. Means you have some antibodies injected into your body to build up your immune system to fight against diseases. Hallelujah. Now you realize that it is not pleasant It is never pleasant whenever you are getting an injection. How many of you had had injection before? If you have had injection before, it is, you realize that it's not a pleasant thing. You know, healthcare has developed to a degree that needles are now made in the thinnest form you can find. Hallelujah. They make them very thin. You see, in the past, they used to have blunt needles. Very painful. In the past, when you are injecting someone, you can hear like the needle going through the skin. You know, it was very painful. And sometimes, after it has gone through some thick muscles, they boil it and then come to you again with the muscle that has blunted even further, the needle. And then you hear more as the needle is going through your skin. Hallelujah. But now, as the advent of healthcare has progressed, needles are very fine and very thin. And so they are making it such that when they inject you, it will not hurt. But still, it's painful. Hallelujah. I, for one, I don't like needles at all. I don't like anyone to stick me with a needle. When the time comes that I have to give blood for any form of test, I don't like it. But you have to. You see, so immunization is painful, but we have to receive it. And the outcome, the benefit, is great. Hallelujah. So what I'm saying is that the benefit of having immunization far outweighs the pain that we get when we get injection. Hallelujah. And so the messages that we are sharing, I want you to receive it with meekness. Hallelujah. Receive it with meekness, and I believe you'll be blessed. Amen. You'll be blessed. Today we will have our barbecue, so don't worry. And the exam is open from 12 to midnight. So we will take the exam also. Hallelujah. So everyone will have the opportunity to enjoy after the exam. Amen. So today we want to continue with a series of messages that we have been sharing. And the title is The Things That Cause the Work of God to Cease. Hallelujah. The things that cause the work to cease. Amen. The things that cause the work to cease. And I want us to read our foundational scripture, two scriptures, and then we will continue with our message. So if you turn with me to Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. I am being blessed as I'm sharing this message. And you know, I want you to really receive this message with meekness and receive it with your whole heart. Hallelujah. Receive the message with your whole heart. I feel that the Holy Spirit is ministering through this message. Hallelujah. I feel that there's so many revelations that the Lord is giving us through this message. And I want you to receive it with your heart. Hallelujah. Do not let it go to waste at all. Amen. So Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, it says, "And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Hallelujah. Jesus says, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." You see, if Jesus is telling us that the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church, it means he is very much aware of the gates of hell. And he is much aware also of the efforts that the gates of hell is making to prevail against his church. Hallelujah. And he says that, "I am aware of it, but I will still build, because the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Hallelujah. It is not one gate. He says, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Therefore, Jesus knows the gates of hell. Hallelujah. He's aware of the gates of hell. And he's giving us the assurance to go on and build, because they will not prevail against it. Hallelujah. I feel like I'm struggling with the microphone. Is that the best you can do? I feel I'm struggling with it. Amen. Amen. Wonderful. The second scripture that I want us to read is in Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 4. the book of Nehemiah, chapter 4, and let's read from verse 7. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 7. It says, so, he said, but it came to pass that when Sambalat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up, or the walls of Jerusalem was being built, or God's city was being built. He says, when these people heard it, and that the bridges began to be stopped, that means the leak and the breakages in the walls began to be stopped, then they were very wroth, or they were very angry, and they conspired, all of them together. All of who? The enemies. They conspired, all of them together, the gates of hell. They conspired, all of them together, to come and fight against Jerusalem and do what? And hinder us, or hinder it. Hallelujah. Hinder the work that is going on. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God. That is the one that we have to make our prayers unto. Because he is the one that has said, I will build my church. He's the one that says, I will build my church. He's the one that is building his church. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. He's the one that is building his church. Amen. He's the one that has said the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So he's the one that we have to pray to. He says, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. That means we have to pray day and night. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversaries, or our enemies, said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst amongst them, and slay them, and cause the work to cease. Hallelujah. If you read from the Message version, the Bible says, and all this time, our enemies were saying, verse 11, our enemies were saying, they won't know what hit them. Before they know it, we will be at their throats, killing them right and left. That will put a stop to the work. Hallelujah. That will put a stop to the work. So the enemy is planning to come in our midst. He says, before they know it, we will be in their midst. Before they know it, we'll become like church members. Before they know it, we are amongst them. Before they know it, we are part of the choir. Before they know it, we are part of the prayer ministry. Before they know it, we are part of the projector team. Before they know it, we are part of the health ministry. Before they know it, we are part of the women's ministry. Before they know it, we are part of the men's ministry. Before they know it, we are the ones that are sharing, that are leading the men's ministry. Before they know it, and we will start killing them one by one. But I want you to notice, it says, they won't know what hit them. Hallelujah. Now, what will hit us are the gates of hell. The things that will hit us, the things that will cause the work to stop, they are the gates of hell. And that is what Jesus is saying will not prevail. But he has thrown light on all these gates in his word. Hallelujah. I feel that I am struggling with this microphone. I don't know why you cannot fix it. Because I am struggling with the microphone. Amen. You see, these are the gates that we need to be aware of. These are the gates that ought to be revealed to us so that we are conscious of them. Hallelujah. And we are using, based on the, we are sharing the scriptures based on the book Loyalty and Disloyalty. And we are sharing some of these gates that the Lord has revealed to us also in this book with you. Hallelujah. And so the first gate we shared about was what? The independent spirit. Hallelujah. The independent spirit. And I believe we shared a lot on the independent spirit. And I want you to, if you have not, you are not here, I want you to get copies of the messages and listen to them. They are very, very important messages that we need to know. Hallelujah. They are messages that we ought to be aware of. And the next one, the next gate of hell, the next gate of hell that is going to hit us is what? The spirit of offense. Hallelujah. The spirit of offense. This is one of the things which will hit us and we won't know. This is one of the weapons the enemy will use and we won't know. Hallelujah. This is one of the weapons the enemy will bring that will kill us one by one. Hallelujah. And we won't know. He says, this is one of the things that will cause the work to cease. Amen. The Bible says, and then shall many be offended. Look at that. In a church. Jesus is saying, in the church, Matthew 24 and verse 10, he says, and then shall many be offended and shall betray one another. Hallelujah. Once you are offended, the next phase is to betray one another. And shall hate one another. Do you see? It's in faces. You see, when you are offended, then you go on to betray. And the next phase is to hate. Now, can you imagine in a church where we hate one another? Definitely that will cause the work to cease. Definitely that will put a stop to the work. Please, let's fix the microphone before we continue with the message. Because, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We do not let the offense go. We are going to now start betraying one another. When we are offended and we do not heal, we are going to betray one another. Hallelujah. So do you realize that it is important for us to get rid of offense? It is very important that we get rid of offense. Because if you are offended and you do not let it go, you are going to go to the next phase. And the next phase is that you are going to betray whoever offended you. Hallelujah. When you are offended, you see, when you are offended, you find yourself now revealing the things that your friend has confided in you. Hallelujah. When you are offended, you realize that there are deep things that have been confided in you, and you bring it out to betray the person. Hallelujah. And you see, once that betrayer comes in, the next phase is hatred. Hallelujah. Is somebody understanding what I'm sharing? I hope you understand what I'm sharing with you. So it is very important that we get rid of offense. Amen. It is very important that we share so many things concerning offense. We shared a scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. We shared a scripture that showed us, from 14, I think, to 15, a scripture that showed us how that we ought to behave in a certain way in the house of God. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14, it says, these things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself, where? In the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. It says, this is the house of God, the pillar and ground of the truth. The house of God is the pillar and ground of the truth. And we need to know how to behave ourselves as Christians in the house of God. In the house of God, where we are building, we need to know how to behave ourselves. Amen. In the house of God, where we are these monitors on? I don't know why I'm struggling with this. In the house of God where we are building, we need to know how to behave ourselves.
Hallelujah. We need to know how we ought to behave ourselves. Amen. Because you see, he says, it is the pillar and ground of the truth. The house of God is the pillar and ground of the truth. Amen. Now you realize that whenever the truth comes, you see, whenever the truth comes, it shines light. It shines light, or it throws light into darkness. The truth comes to throw light onto hidden things. Hallelujah. The truth comes to unveil what is hidden. Amen. Now, that is what the word of God does. You see, when things are hidden, when people hide things, they don't like it when you expose it. You see, the reason why people hide things is that they don't want people to see them. Hallelujah. And that is why when the light comes to shine on the truth, people get angry. Hallelujah. And that is what the word of God does. The word of God throws light onto the truth. Amen. The word of God shines light onto the truth. And so it has a tendency to expose you. Hallelujah. It has a tendency to expose what has been covered. It has a tendency to expose what you don't want people to know. Hallelujah. And you cannot find this anywhere else but the church of the living God, which is the pillar and the ground of the truth. So when you come to the church of the living God, expect that you receive the truth. Expect that you will be exposed. Expect that some hidden things in your life will come to light. Hallelujah. And it should not cause offense in you. Amen. You see, that is why we are teaching. Let me show you a scripture in James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse, let's read from verse 19, or James chapter 1 and verse 19. He says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, or slow to anger. You see, this is a very wise saying. You see, be fast to hear. Whenever information is given, be fast to hear. It means that run quickly to church even to hear what we are sharing. Be fast to hear. And he says, when you are in a group of people and they are talking, be a person who is fast hearer and a slow speaker. Hallelujah. Don't be the one that always wants to talk. It's not wise. I didn't write a Bible. It says, and then also slow to wrath, slow to anger. You have to be very slow. Don't be angry quickly. Because sometimes we see through a glass dimly. So be slow to wrath. Wait until the whole matter is finished. And you realize that you don't need to be angry. The next verse. It says, because when the word of God says for, it's English also. It says for, or because the wrath of man, our anger, the wrath of man. When man is angry, when a man is angry, it says, it worketh not the righteousness of God. When any man is angry, you realize that you will be away from the righteousness of God. The wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. The next verse, it says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. It says, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity. Your internal arguments and all these things that, is he talking about me? What is he talking about? Was he referring to me? Was it up? He says, forget about those things. He says, wherefore, lay apart all this filthiness and superfluity of your naughtiness. You see, naughtiness means you are not prepared to change. You are naughty means you are not prepared to change. But he said, lay it apart and receive with meekness receive with meekness the engrafted word. The engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Hallelujah. Do you realize that the word of God is not supposed to make you angry? So he says, now, he says, the next verse. He says, be ye, instead of arguing with the word of God, instead of being naughty and not prepared, because the naughty person is the one that argues with himself against the word of God. It means the person is not prepared to change. Do you understand? So he says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. We hear the word of God, but he says, be a doer. When you hear, do it. He says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. When you hear the word of God and you don't do it, you deceive yourself. Hallelujah. Amen. The next verse, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto... Are you listening?
Yes.
He says, if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He says, when you hear the word of God and you do not do it, you are like a person who is looking into a mirror. Glass, you don't look in a glass and see your face. So he says, you look into a mirror and you behold or you see your natural face. You see, the word of God, it exposes your natural face. It exposes your life in the natural form. It exposes your life when it is not polished. It exposes your life when there is no makeup. It exposes your life when you are at home. Have you realized that sometimes you come to church and the word seems to expose your behavior at home? You see, because in the church you never behave like that. In the church you are never cantankerous. In the church, you are never a fighter. But when you come to the house of God, which is the pillar and ground of the truth, it has ability to expose your natural face, your nakedness, the way you really are, without the makeup, without your nice hair, without nice face, without nice eyebrows, without nice clothes. The way you really are, the word of God has a tendency to expose you. Hallelujah. Now, that is not a pleasant thing. Hallelujah. That is not a pleasant thing. Are you understanding me? When you are exposed like that, it's not a pleasant thing. When your life is put out like that, it's not a pleasant thing. When a hidden thing is exposed, you are not happy. Hallelujah. So that is when the offense comes. You see, as the preaching is coming, you see, You see, I knew it. And then you start checking out who must have told the pastor. You see, sometimes when the pastor is preaching, you start thinking of somebody. You start thinking of, this is a conversation that I had with this person. Do you see? And then you see, I know who told the pastor this thing. I know who told the pastor this thing. You see, somebody must have told him. How could he have known this? But you see, when you are in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, where it is the pillar and the truth, the pillar and ground of the truth, you have to understand that the only thing that comes out of here is the truth. Hallelujah. Is somebody understanding what I'm sharing with you? When you are in the house of God, where the truth comes out to expose something that you are trying to hide, it means that the word is anointed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You see, the Spirit of God, the Bible says, is searching all hearts. Do you understand what I'm sharing with you? And the Spirit knoweth our infirmities. Do you understand? It searches our heart and it knows our infirmities and it knows what we need And it knows what correction needs to come. And it knows what will make us a better person. And it knows what will put us in the right place. Hallelujah. It knows what will make us behave in that particular way as we ought to in the house of God or as Christians. Amen.
Amen.
And so when you are in the house of God, when you are in the church of God, which is the house of the living God, which is the pillar and ground of the truth, be prepared that the truth is coming to your life. Be prepared that you'll be exposed. Be prepared that something is going to be said that you are not happy about. Hallelujah. And I tell you, when you are in a church and you hear a word that seems to expose you, that seems to expose your natural face, that seems to put out to light what you really are, I think you need to give an offering to the Lord.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. You need to give an offering to the Lord. Because you see, what you need in your life to do well, what you need in your life to do well is what you are not good at or what you are incompetent of doing. Hallelujah. Now, a lot of times, what we are incompetent of doing, we are aware. Amen. A lot of times, our setbacks are glaring in our eyes. But you see, we don't want other people to know. Amen. You see, but you get angry when you know that another person knows. Or when someone tells another person. Or when you confide in another person and the person shares it. You see, a lot of times you come to church and you plan to come and discuss something with the pastor. You see? And sometimes it's a blessing that before you even discuss it, you see, I have had many times people have come to me and say, Reverend, I was going to discuss something with you, but you preach about it in the message. Can you fix the microphone, please? I'm really struggling with this microphone. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Is that, what is the problem? Hallelujah. Can we change the microphone? Is there another one that you think I should change it? Amen. Do you understand what I'm sharing with you?
Yes.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Or you've gone home?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
You see, when you stand in a mirror, he says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man.
Hallelujah. Amen. You think this is better? Wonderful. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He says, if you hear the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face. Natural face. The word of God gives you your natural self, which you really are. The person that you are really. The person that we do not know. Amen. The word of God exposes you. Hallelujah. And so if it exposes you, you see, it's like you stand in a mirror in the morning and then you see that your hair is really some way. You see, your hair is really some way. And then you look and you realize that there are some things in your eyes. You know, there are things in your eyes. You see, and maybe when you wake up in the morning, there are certain white things also on the side of your face. Hallelujah. Listen very carefully. And so you go and then you look in a mirror. And then you look in a mirror and you say, that cannot be me. You see, that is not like me. And then you say, that cannot be me. And then you walk away going to work like that. Because it's impossible that this is you. Hallelujah. So you walk, you run quickly. You say, that cannot be me. And then you run quickly to work. Who do you think is going to suffer?
Hallelujah. And that is what the word of God does. You see, when it comes, it identifies you who you really are. The kind of person that you really, the kind of person that no one knows. And it exposes you. You see, and then sometimes when you are sitting there, you see, when you are exposed, you see, when there's something that is a secret to you, when there's something that is personal, sometimes you have something that is really personal in your body. Do you see? And no one knows. Even your doctor, when you go to see your doctor, that area you will never expose. Now, who do you think will suffer if your doctor does not see it? But you see, some places like that, that you don't want anyone to see or know, when someone sees it, you get very angry. Hallelujah. When someone sees it, you get very annoyed. Amen. One man of God was saying that nakedness is not an issue. You see, like when you are home and you are running around and you are naked, you see, you don't mind. Do you see? You don't mind. Things are jumping around and, you know, you run and you don't mind. Sometimes you even look in the mirror and then you say, this, I need to do something about this. You know, and you're touching areas and then you see that, this I need to do. And you see, it doesn't really matter, because soon afterwards you go to the banku and you're eating it again. Because it's you. You've seen it. Do you understand? So at that time, it doesn't really matter. But when you hear footsteps, when you hear somebody is knocking the door, then suddenly nakedness becomes a problem. It is not a problem until it is exposed. Hallelujah. So your natural face, your natural self, the kind of person that you really are, it is not a problem until it is exposed. But what I'm sharing with you is that you are blessed to be in a place where your natural face, where you, who you really are, where your deficits, where your hidden things are exposed. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Because it is when these things, you see, what you are doing currently, that you are very good in mapping, you can map the floor very well, that you can polish the mirrors very well, that no one will see a print. After you have left a place, after you have finished cleaning the place, no one will see a print. Do you see? That you are very good at that. For that reason, you are the head cleaner. Do you understand? Are you understand what I'm sharing with you? That has given you the opportunity now. You see, what you are good at, what you are excellent in, it has brought you to a certain place. Where now you are the head cleaner, you are the next to the supervisor. Do you see? But then, what is going to take you next to be the supervisor is something that you do not have. It is something that you lack. It is something that you have not improved on. It is something that you have not worked on. It is something that you are not good in. And so, if you happen to be in a place where that thing is being exposed to you, then you should be glad, because it is only when you improve upon that thing, it is only when you work on that thing, that is what is going to take you to the next phase of life. Hallelujah. So instead of being angry and saying that, who said being a cleaner is a problem for me? Who said I have a problem with being a cleaner? I love what I'm doing and I love my job. And you don't come and tell me that this and this. You see, instead of behaving like that, why don't you just receive the engrafted word of God and hear it and be a doer of it, such that you'll be blessed. Amen. Amen. But oftentimes, when the word of God comes, it makes us angry. Hallelujah. It causes offense. Amen. It causes us to be offended. Amen. And we don't improve upon what we hear. That is why a lot of people don't do the word of God. That is why we don't change when we hear the word of God. You see, it doesn't make us move further on. Hallelujah. And it brings offense in the church. It makes you angry with the pastor. He said, the pastor is talking about me. I don't like a church where we tell the pastor something and he's talking about it. I don't like a church where, you know, you share something with the pastor and the next time you see, he's using it as an example. Amen. But what you do not know, you see, what you do not know is that as the word of God is coming, the way you feel, there are so many people who feel like that also. There are so many people who have the same problem that you have. And so the Spirit of God is not only for you. It's for everyone else who also has the same problem like you have. Amen. And so the way you are feeling, several other people are feeling the same way. What you do not know is that you are the only one that sees it. You see, sometimes when the word of God comes, you figure how many people know about this. You know, and then you think a lot of people are aware of this. Do you understand what I'm sharing with you? And then you think that so many people know about your situation. But I tell you, that is how you feel. It is the word of God. Hallelujah. It is the word of God. And it ought not to bring any offense in our lives. Hallelujah. Amen. Is somebody understanding what I'm sharing with you? You see, offense, you know, there is no relationship. There is no relationship in this life that can guarantee you offense-free. Hallelujah. There is no relationship that you can be guaranteed that there will be no offense. Amen. Even in relationships where people have good intentions. They have good intentions. And in order for them to ensure this good intention, they bring themselves to court before a judge. You see? And they say, you are a judge. You judge all things. Hear us. I am telling this woman that I love her and I will marry her and I will live with her and love her all the days of my life until death do us part. Judge, can you record that? You see? And then this one will also say, I love this man and I will marry him until death do us part. Please, judge, record it. One. And they don't leave it there. They go and then they gather their family. One from here, one from the father, the man, one from the woman. And they say, all of you family members, come together and hear us. As we are saying, we are going to marry ourselves. And we are going to exchange rings to symbolize that we are going to do this forever. The ring is continuous and it will never break. Be witnesses. Hey, take some alcohol to remember this. You to take some money and all these things are symbols for you to remember that this is what we want to do. And then they bring it again before God. And they say, Lord, bless us and cause us to be one, that nothing shall separate us. And then be a witness to this marriage. Do you see? Even such relationship where they have good intentions, where they plan to do this thing forever. Just the same night that they go on honeymoon, they start offending each other. I said there is no relationship that can guarantee that you will not be offended. Right from the honeymoon, you see they are fighting. They will drive from the honeymoon or fly from the honeymoon as lizards. They don't talk to each other. Am I making up something that... Not you, but how many of you have heard that before? You have heard a couple that went on the honeymoon and they came back fighting. Hallelujah. And so even a relationship like that, you find them offending each other. Hallelujah. You see, there's no relationship that is guaranteed offense-free. But what can guarantee you a long-lasting relationship is forgiveness. That is the only thing that can guarantee you a long-lasting relationship. Hallelujah. Because as far as offense is concerned, if anything involves human beings, if anything involves man and woman, if anything involves the flesh and the blood, then you can be guaranteed that it will not be offense-free. Because there is no perfect man. There is no perfect man. There is no perfect woman. And so you can never guarantee offense free. Hallelujah. You can never guarantee offense free. You see, even now, people have, because of human error, because we always offend and make many mistakes, people have come to a degree where now a lot of things are done by robots and by computers. You see, they are even more prone to avoid offense than human beings. To the degree that even now, hospitals, they dispense medications through robots. Robots take the medicine from the pharmacy, and you see them coming in the hallway. You know, they go on the elevator, and then it comes, it knows the floor, and it comes out on the right floor, goes to the right station, and put the medications in the patient's dispensers, so that human error and their mistakes and offenses will not come in. Hallelujah. Amen. So as far as human beings are concerned, when human beings are involved, when persons are involved, you can always be assured that you will be offended. Hallelujah. So instead of looking for a relationship where there is no offense, then the best thing that you need to do is, when you are coming into the relationship, take your forgiveness cleaner. The cleaner that wipes unforgiveness, the cleaner that wipes offenses. Hallelujah. Because when you are able to wipe many offenses, when you are able to, you see, the offense that come, if you have a heart even this big, you see, the offense are limitless. So they will keep coming. But as long as you have the duster that cleans, as long as the offense comes and you wipe out, as long as the offense comes and you wipe out, you realize that the heart is able to accommodate more offenses. And it keeps the relationship going. Hallelujah. Because if the memory, the storage of your heart, you see, if the storage of your heart continues to pile and to record and keep information, some of them very large, and it keeps all this information, offense, and it keeps piling it, at some point you see that the love, it slows down. The heart cannot love. It's like a computer. After you have loaded it with a lot of information, after a while you realize that it slows down and then it crashes. It jams. Hallelujah. But when you start taking some of the information out, you delete this. You say, this one you did in 2004, and then you delete it. This one was 2007. I remember this. Delete. And then you see another big one, big file, very big file. And you say, hey, this is when he had a son with someone when he went to Ghana. In fact, as for this one, Lord, you say, hey, as for this one, hallelujah. You say, as for this offense, Lord, I don't know. And then you realize you don't even know where you're going to put it. You say, it is so big. But when you are able to delete this huge file, you finally realize that your heart is now so light, and you are loving the man, and you are just pouring out your heart, and the relationship begins to just go on. Because now you have deleted a big file, the computer is so fast, it's just absorbing, and now you have a lot of room to take more offenses, more stupidity, more misbehavior, more girlfriends, more other things. And you realize that the relationship is still going, it's still going. And it's still going. And as you delete, you realize the relationship is still going. It's still going. But when it's jammed, you realize there's no room for pleasure. There is no room for love. There is no room for enjoyment. Hallelujah. And that is what offense does. Amen. It causes the work to cease. You are building together. You are building a house together. But because of this huge offense, huge fire that has come, he has used all the money to spend on his girlfriend, and he has bought a car for his girlfriend, and he has two children with this same woman. And you, even since you had that one, you have not even been able to have another one. But he has two, and the woman is pregnant. You see, but when you are able to delete this file, that building project that the two of you are building, it can go on. But if you continue to keep that fire, you realize that it causes the work to cease. Amen. It causes the work to cease. And so as far as offense will be amongst us, the enemy will cause the work also to cease. Hallelujah. The enemy will cause the work to cease. You see, we don't leave relationships because we are offended. We don't leave. Then you are going to leave many relationships. You don't leave a church because you are offended. You will leave many churches. Listen, you can ask anyone who has left a church because of offense and ask the person, have you also been offended at that place where you went? If they have not, it is yet to come. I can guarantee you that you will be offended. I can guarantee you that you will be sick and the pastor may not remember. I can guarantee you that you will sing and the choir leader will not be happy with the way you sing, and he will say something and you'll be offended. It is just coming. Hallelujah. It is just coming. The Bible says in John chapter 8 verse 35. Let me just show you one scripture. I don't think we can. You see, sometimes when I get you, I want to share a lot with you because I don't get you often. And so some of you, I don't get often. And some things you need to hear, because you may not get me to share with you anymore. Do you understand? Hallelujah. You see, then you realize that he's not here to share this anymore. Amen. So let's share. John chapter 8 and verse 35, it says, and the servant abided not in the house forever. You see, it says the servant, if you are a servant, you do not, and the Lord reveals something in this scripture and I will share with you. He says, and the servant abided not in the house forever, but the son abided ever. You see, it's only the servant who, when he's offended, he just packs his stuff. I don't want to be here anymore. And then he leaves. Do you see? But the son, no matter what offense comes, he abides forever. If you are a true son, if you are a true child of God, the Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 12 that he has given us power to become sons. Listen, don't move. He says, but as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Now go back to that scripture. It says, and the servant abided not in the house forever, but the son abided ever. And then there's the next scripture. It says, if the son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Hallelujah. Look, the people who leave churches, the people who leave the house of God because of offense, they are not sons. They are not free indeed. They are not sons of God. They are not children of God. They are not true Christians. They are not born again. They are still servants. Servants of what? Servants of sin. Servant of sin. Because it says, whom the Son sets free. He says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, the Son makes you free from sins. The Son sets you free from sins. The Son sets you free from the bondage of Satan, from the bondage of sins. And so he says, whom the Son, if the Son therefore sets you free, then you are free indeed. And you are a son of God. And he has given you the power to become the son of God.
And when you are like that, and the word comes, if it is the word of the Father, if it is the word of God, it should not offend you enough to leave the house. Because he says the Son abided ever. Hallelujah. The Son abided ever. Amen. I just want to share one more. Is it okay? Are you? Let me share just briefly and then we can. The next thing that causes the word to cease is the critical spirit. The critical spirit. Now the critical spirit. Someone who has a critical spirit is someone who always criticizes. The person always criticizes others. Hallelujah. He finds faults in everything. A person who has a critical spirit finds fault in everything. Hallelujah. He never sees or focuses on what is going on right. If anything is going on right, he does not focus on that. Amen. When I look in a dictionary, a critic is a person who tends too readily to make captious, trivial, or harsh judgment. He is described as a fault finder. A person who tends too readily to make captious, trivial, or harsh judgment. Do you understand what is captious? Captious means apt to or designed to notice and make much of trivial faults or defects. Someone who that is difficult to please. Hallelujah. Now, trivial means something that you can overlook. Faults that you can overlook. But a person who has a critical spirit, he focuses on trivial faults. Hallelujah. Such a person never receives the blessings that is in a good thing. Because he doesn't focus on a good thing. Hallelujah. Any person with a critical spirit does not focus on a good thing. And that is an evil spirit. Amen. It's an evil spirit, and it's one of the ways that the enemy uses to cause the work to cease. Hallelujah. The person sees anything that involves good things, you realize that he overlooks it, and then he focuses on what is coming out that is wrong. Hallelujah. But as I was sharing with you, anything that involves human beings is bound to have many faults. It's bound to have many things go wrong as long as it involves a human being. And especially the church. Especially in the church. The church is one place where you can find a lot of things going wrong. Hallelujah. The church is, when you enter in our church, you can find a lot of things going wrong. Amen. Are you with me?
Yes.
Can I hear an amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. The church is one place where you can find a lot of things going wrong. Because you see, the church is one place where many sinners come together. Many sinners. You see, there are many righteous people. They don't need a church. But we say that we are sinners. We have sinned against God and we need forgiveness. And this is a group of sinners come together. And so in a place like this, you are bound to find a lot of faults. Hallelujah. In a place like this, you are bound to find a lot of faults. Amen. Jesus said, anyone that comes to me, I will in by no means cast out. Do you see? So it means that anyone that walks in here can be part of that. So we can have murderers with us. We can have liars. We can have thieves. We can have gossipers. We can have... It says, anyone that comes, I will by no means cast out. John chapter 6 and I believe verse 37. Hallelujah. Amen. Is somebody understanding what I'm sharing with you? So when you are in the church, and then you are expecting that you will find everything perfect, you are in the wrong place, because the church is the last place that you would expect to find perfect things. Hallelujah. Now the enemy uses criticism or accusations to cause the work to cease. Hallelujah. The enemy uses criticism to cause the work to cease. And I'm going to read just some few scriptures with you, and then we go home. Okay? I can guarantee, no, we will have our exams and our barbecue. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24. You know what? Let's read Nehemiah chapter 6 first. Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 1. Nehemiah chapter 6 and Nehemiah. Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 1. Can you give me the New Living Translation, please? Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 1. It says, Sambalat, Tobiah, Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies. You see, these are all enemies of the church, enemies of the building of God's house. It says, Sambalat, Tobiah, Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies found out that I had finished rebuilding the wall and that no gaps remained, though we had not yet set up the doors in the gates. Next. So Sambalat and Geshem sent a message asking me to meet them at one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But I realized they were plotting to harm me. So Sambalat, he says, so I replied by sending this message to them. I am engaged in a great work. Hallelujah. When you are building the church of God, it's a great work. So he says, I am engaged in a great work, so I can't come. There are so many people that invite you to so many things on Sunday. Tell them you are involved in a great thing and you cannot come. Why should I stop working to come and meet with you? Four times they sent the same message, and each time I gave the same reply. Do you see, Benson? Four times they tried to entice you. Let us go to a funeral in Virginia. Let us go to a convention in this place. You say, I am the drummer. I am the singer. I am the lead singer. How can I leave? You say, but oh, it's just that weekend. Do you see? Let us go here. Let us go there. So that they want to cause the work to cease. But he says that I am involved in a great work. And four times they send the same message. But each time I gave the same reply. And now they have to adapt. You see, the enemy, he leaves you but for a season. Do you understand? And they have, you see, I told you it's not only one gate of hell. There are several gates of hell. So he has to apply the next gate. If enticing you to leave the work will not go on. So he says, the fifth time, Sambalat's servant came with an open letter in his hand. And this is what it said. It says, there is a rumor among the surrounding nations. And Geshem was one of the enemies. And Geshem tells me it is true. Now, do you expect Geshem to say that is a lie? He says, there's a rumor among the surrounding nations. And Geshem tells me it is true that you and the Jews are planning to rebel. And that is why you are building the wall. You see? According to his report, you plan to be their king. Do you see the accusation that is coming? You see, when the enemy finds one way is not working, he comes with another way. He says, according to the report, you plan to be their king. You are building to rebel. You see, then they start accusing. They say the pastor, he wants to be the king of the church. He's planning to build an empire and have everyone run around like they are his servants. That is why he's so aggressive. Let us build, let us build, let us build. Do you understand what I'm sharing with you? So he says, according to the report, you are planning to be their king. And the next scripture, he says, he also reports that you have appointed prophets in Jerusalem to proclaim about you. Look, there is a king in Judah, in case you don't know. you can be very sure that this report will get back to the king. So I suggest that you come and talk it over with me quickly. Do you see the accusation? The enemy accuses you so that now you feel you cannot build. So listen, I replied, there is no truth in any part of your story. You are making up the whole story, or you are making up the whole thing. They were just trying to, listen very carefully, they were just trying to intimidate us, imagining that they could discourage us and stop the work. Hallelujah. John, do you understand what I'm sharing with you? Mr. Bogu, do you see? That is why the enemy is accusing you. Not that there's any truth in what he's saying, but so that it will cause the work to cease. Hallelujah. The enemy accuses and criticizes so that it will cause the great work to cease. He says that they were just trying to intimidate us, imagining that they could discourage us and stop the work. So, when he also realized that, and that is why we are teaching this. So, when he realized that, he says, so, I continue the work with even greater determination. Hallelujah. He said, so, I continue the work with even greater determination. Hallelujah. With even greater determination. Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24. I just want to show you one more accusation that caused the work to cease. Acts chapter 24. It says, five days later, Ananias, the high priest, look at that. The high priest is in the church. Do you understand what I'm sharing with you? He says, they will not know what hit them. Before they know it, we are the high priest. Before they know it, we are the choir leaders. Before they know it, we are the instrumentalist leaders. Before they know it, we are the prayer warrior leaders. Before they know it, we are in the midst of them, killing them one by one. He says, 5 days later, Ananias, the high priest, arrived with some of the Jewish elders and the lawyers, and the lawyer Tertullus. He came with a lawyer. A priest comes with a lawyer. When there's a church issue, a priest comes with a lawyer. Do you see? Now, this is when Paul was going all around building churches. That is where he gave the name, the Apostle Paul. He was a church builder. So, verse 24, Paul has built many churches in many of the cities. And it says that 5 days later, Ananias the high priest arrived with some of the Jewish elders and the lawyers, and the lawyer Tertullus, to present their case against Paul, the builder, to the governor. The next one, he says, when Paul was called in, Tertullus presented the charges against Paul in the following address to the governor. Listen to the charge. He says, Your Excellency, you see, they are talking to the judge now. Your Excellency, you have provided a long period of peace for us Jews. You see, when people are about to lie, they praise the judge. Do you see? Even if the judge has not provided them peace, he says, Your Excellency, these Jews, were they in peace? They were now in peace. This is why they were waiting for the Messiah. So do you see the high priest, what he's talking about? So he says, you have provided a long period of peace for us Jews. And with foresight, you have enacted reforms for us. You see, it's like you go to Rawlings and say, JJ, we know you have, your Excellency, you have put Ghana on a pedestal. And you have a foresight for us never to lose electricity and never to lose water, and that our roads will be tarred. You have plans for all of this. Before they present their case against the rebel, do you see? He says, for all this that you have done, we are very grateful to you. But I don't want to bore you. I don't want to bore you with all these accolades and praises. So please, give me your attention at this moment. For only a moment, give me your attention. Because this is what is important. We have found this man to be a troublemaker who is constantly stirring up riots among the Jews all over the world. I didn't hear of Paul in Ghana. I didn't hear of Paul in Nigeria. But he was stirring up riots among the Jews all over the world. I don't know, my brother, did you see Paul in Ethiopia? Even Ethiopia, there are Jews in Ethiopia. But Paul, I don't know if Paul was stirring up riots. He says, stirring up riots all over the world. He is a ringleader of the cult known as Nazarenes. Is there anything called Nazarenes? Do you hear the accusations? Now listen, he says, next, please. Furthermore, he was trying to desecrate the temple when we arrested him. He was trying to desecrate the temple when we arrested him. You can find out the truth of our accusations by examining him yourself. Arrest my case. Then the other Jews chime in to give their okay. Everything the high priest has said is true. He said the other Jews chimed in, declaring that everything the high priest has said was true. The governor then motioned for Paul to speak. Paul said, I know, sir, that you have been a judge of Jewish affairs for many years. I'm not going to comment whether you have done a good job or not. Do you see? He says, I know you have been a judge over the Jewish affairs for many years. So I gladly present my defense before you. That is the only reason. You can quickly discover that I arrived in Jerusalem no more than 12 days ago. I just came 12 days ago to worship at the temple. My accusers never found me arguing with anyone in the temple, nor stirring up a riot in any synagogue or on the streets of the city. Not once did I stir up riot. I wasn't arguing with anyone. Not once in the temple or on the street. These men cannot prove these things they accuse me of doing. But I admit that I follow the way. I admit that I follow the way. There is a way. He says, I am the way. I am the truth. And he is the life. He says, I admit that I follow the way, which they call a cult. I worship the God of our ancestors. And I firmly believe that Jewish law and everything written in the prophets, I firmly believe them. I have the same hope in God that these men have, that he will raise both the righteous and the unrighteous. Because of this, I always try to maintain a clear conscience before God and all people. Hallelujah. Amen. Michael, do you understand? He says, because of this, I always try to maintain a clear conscience before God and all people. After several years away, I returned to Jerusalem with money to aid my people and to offer sacrifices to God. My accusers saw me in the temple as I was completing a purification ceremony. There was no crowd around me and no rioting. But some Jews from the province of Asia were there, and they ought to be here. You see, when I was doing all this, there were some Jews who came from the province of Asia. They were there, and they ought to be here. If we are going to accuse me, they ought to be here as witnesses to bring charges if they have anything against me. Because they were the ones that were there. The high priest was not even there. All the other Jews were not there. Just the people from the province of Asia. So next, he says, ask this man here what crime the Jewish high council find me guilty of. Except for the one time I shouted out, I am on trial before you today because I believe in the resurrection of the dead. At that point, Felix, who was quite familiar with the way, Felix was the governor. He was quite familiar with the way. He was quite familiar with Jesus Christ. He says, at that point, Felix, who was quite familiar with the way, adjourned the hearing and said, wait until Lysias, the garrison commander, arrives. Then I will decide the case. Do you see? After he has heard the evidence, accusation has come. But then he said, wait until Felix comes. Then I will decide on the case. He ordered an officer to keep Paul in custody, but to give him some freedom and allow his friends to visit him and take care of his needs. You see, he knew the way. Felix knew the way. The governor understood the way. And he understood what Paul was doing. But accusation has come. And so, he said, he kept him in custody. But he made room that he will have his needs met. His friends can visit him. He will be able to use the nicest bathroom around the area. He'll be able to. You see, I want you to notice something. The key here is not so they will put Paul in prison that he will suffer. The goal of the enemy is not for Paul to suffer, but to slow the work. To cause the work to cease. That is the reason. So he says, he put him in custody, but to give him some freedom. You are in prison, but you have freedom to visit your friends, to visit you, for your needs to be taken care of until the guy comes. And then the next one, he says, a few days later, Felix came back with his wife, Drusilla, who was Jewish. Sending for Paul, they listened as he told them about faith in Christ Jesus. As he reasoned with them about righteousness and self-control and the coming day of judgment, Felix became frightened. Go away for now, he replied. When it is more convenient, I will call for you again. He also hoped that Paul would bribe him. So he sent for him quite often and talked with him. And the next one, listen. After 2 years, 2 years went by in this way, just because accusation has come. Not that there's truth in it, but so that the word. He says, 2 years come by, 2 years went by in this way. Felix was succeeded. Felix died, and he was succeeded by Porcius Festus. And because Felix wanted to gain favor with the Jewish people, he left Paul in prison. Hallelujah. And that will cause the work to cease. Is somebody understanding what I'm sharing with you? I say one of the things the enemy comes with to cause the work to stop is accusation. Hallelujah. He brings accusation. This one has done this. This one has done that. This one has done this. This one has done this. Have you seen this one? He's doing this. She's doing that. He's doing this. She's doing this. To cause the work to slow down. To cause the people now not to come anymore. So that the work will cease. You know, no one performs his best under a critical eye. No one does well when you are under a critical eye. You see, that is why even the greatest of performers, people who are very good, people who are very good performers, when they appear before judges, you realize that they don't do well. When you are under critical eye, when someone is looking to find faults with what you are doing, you never do well. Hallelujah. When someone is looking to find mistakes with what you are doing, and you are conscious of that, you never do well. Hallelujah. You see, that is why sometimes they say, come and sing. And you rehearse at home. And even when you look at yourself in the mirror as you are rehearsing, you feel that you are good. You see, you surprise yourself that, so I can sing like this. And then you come and stand here to sing. And you see the critical eyes looking at you like this. And then suddenly, and then you wonder, but it's the critical eyes. I said, no one does well under critical eye. You seem to have prepared, you seem to have performed, you seem to have rehearsed, and you seem very ready, and you are coming, and then the moment you stand there, some people, they open their eyes like this, and they're looking at you, and then suddenly you are confused. Suddenly you can't perform anymore. Under critical, I know one does well. And that is what the enemy uses to cause the work to cease. Hallelujah. That is what the enemy uses. You see, sometimes you are walking. You see, you are walking nicely. You are walking nicely with your high heels. Very nice. And you are strolling the streets of, you know, your neighborhood and walking. And then you come around the area where you know some people who don't like you. And you know they are going to analyze you and criticize you. Suddenly you start and then you are falling. Your walking changes and you become like K-legs. You don't know how to walk. Someone who was walking nicely with your high heel because of critical eyes that have just, you see, nothing has come except for critical eyes. I said, no one does well under critical eyes. Hallelujah. No one does well under critical eyes. Sometimes you wear something, you wear some clothes, sometimes you wear some dress that you yourself, you feel, if this one you don't have to iron, that's why you are wearing it. You see, but really, if you look in the mirror, it wouldn't be the first choice. How many women have felt like that before? And then you go to work or you come to church and then 3-4 people, wow, wow, you look good in this. Wow, where did you pick this from? Wow, what a nice dress on you. Man, this really look good on. Suddenly, that dress becomes one of your favorite dresses. I say people perform well when they are appraised. People perform well when there's no criticism. But when you feel you have dressed very well, you have dressed very well and someone gives a comment on that dress that you are wearing, you realize that dress, you don't ever want to wear it. Meanwhile, it was one of your favorite dresses. Have you not realized that? Have you not realized that whenever you go to work, you go to the place where the guy is always giving you compliments? Have you not realized that this guy always giving you compliments about how you look? Every time you go to work, you want to pass by his desk. It's not that you like him. Look. It's not that you like him. You are a married woman. It's not that you like him. But you like the compliments. You see, and as you are dressing, as you are standing in the mirror, you have the guy in mind. You see, you have the guy in mind that he's going to like this. Not that you like him. Not that you like him. But you do well, and then you walk by, and the day he's not there, you're not happy at all. Your day is not good. Our time is up. Put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. Stand unto your feet. Let us bring the service to a close. No one does well under critical eye. No one's performed best when there's a critical spirit in their midst. When there's a critical spirit, it causes every work to cease. It causes progress to cease. It causes the zeal that you have to go on to come down when there's a critical spirit. And the enemy uses that. He uses the critical spirit, the accusation, to bring the work to a stop. To bring the word to a stop. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for leading us, Lord, to share these great revelations. Father, we thank you for identifying the gates of hell, the things that cause the work to come to a cease, the things that cause the work to stop, the things that cause us to stop working, the things that discourage us. Father, we thank you for sharing these things with us in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, we ask, oh God, that the offenses that are in us, the things that we have been offended by, which has caused us, Lord, even make plans to leave, make plans not to do anything anymore. Lord, cleanse us. Give us the duster of forgiveness. Give us, oh God, the ability to forgive, to cleanse ourselves of unforgiveness. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
And draw me to your side.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
And I'll rise away. I'll rise up like an eagle. And I will soar with you. Your spirit lifts me on. By the power of your love, why don't you draw me close and hold your
Draw me close and hold me close, Lord.
Let your love surround.
We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for what you have shared with us. Heavenly Father, the areas where we have been offended, oh Lord, give us the heart of forgiveness. Give us, Lord, the dust of forgiveness. Father, to wipe away these offenses from our hearts, that we can accommodate, that we can continue to build. We thank you, Lord, for revealing to us, oh God, critical accusations and criticisms, Lord, that cause the work to cease. Lord, deliver us. May these things not cause us to stop building. May these things not cause us, Lord, to cease from building for your church. We ask, oh God, that you open our eyes to identify these gates of hell. These things that cause us to stop working. These things that cause us, Lord, to come to a halt. These things that cause us to be tired and to give up. These things that put us in prisons. These things that cripple us, that we cannot go on anymore, that we cannot build. Lord, we ask that you heal us from these things. Deliver us from these accusations in the name of Jesus. Deliver us from critical spirits. May none of us become a critical spirit. May none of us be used by the enemy to cause the work to cease. We thank you. We bless you in the name of Jesus. If there's anyone here this afternoon, you are not born again, you want to give your life to Jesus, you want to give your life to Christ, I want you to lift up your right hand wherever you are, and I'll say a short prayer with you. You are here, you want to give your life to Jesus. You want to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Lift up your hand and I'll pray with you. Anyone here like that? Anyone here like that? Do not leave without giving your life to Jesus. Do not leave without receiving Christ Jesus as your Savior. If you are here like that, lift up your hand and I'll pray with you. Anyone here like that? Anyone here like that? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone here like that? Father, we thank you. Why don't you all join and say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Thank you for dying for me.
Thank you for dying for me.
I am a sinner.
I am a sinner.
I have sinned against you.
I have sinned against
you. I believe you are the Son of God.
You are the Son of God.
You died for my sins.
You died for my
sins. Rose again on the third day.
Lord Jesus,
please forgive me of my sins.
Please forgive me of my sins.
I invite you
today
to come and live in my heart. Take control of my life. Please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Why don't you clap for Jesus? Powerful. You may be seated.
We hope you have been blessed immensely by this message. Join us at 1734 Williamsbridge Road in the Bronx on Sunday afternoons and Tuesday evenings. For copies of this and other messages, contact us via email at lci.bronx@gmail.com.